This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm going viral. Doesn't Warner know this?
I'm not even trying to compete with that Lego.
Okay, good.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Wow, what a great guy RJ is. A brand new ENN Open. That was just beautiful. ENN tonight is sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. Your free $45 satellite entry ticket is waiting. Go to BorgataPoker.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and in New Jersey to play. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Don, what's up? How are you?
You want to be like Alan Alda?
Yeah.
Nice. Let's get right into it. Here we go. There's a lot happening in New York sports tonight. The third-place Yankees will look to avoid falling below 500 when they take on the Toronto Blue Jays at 6:37. 21-year-old Davey Garcia will look to be playing the role of stopper when he takes the mound tonight, Don.
I was a little surprised Michael, with conviction, believed that they were going to win the game tonight. I guess, you know, you're due. But does it really come down to who they match up well? This team scores runs and they lose. This team, you know, gets great pitching and they lose. That's what would scare me if I'm a Yankee fan, is that they just find new, different ways to lose. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's a lack of offense or a lack of pitching. It seems to be both on a given day.
Yeah, you're so right. It's been like the finger of blame can be really pointed everywhere. You don't go 5-15 over 20 games because of just one problem within your team. It's everything right now for them.
They're not good. Right now, they are not a good baseball team. And lucky for them, we're in the situation we're in where it's not going to take a good baseball team to make the playoffs. But they've got to get this ship righted, and soon.
Yeah. And speaking of a not good baseball team, at 7:10 tonight, the Mets will look to avoid losing their third straight as Rick Porcello takes the mound against Baltimore. By the way, this night could end with Baltimore sitting in a playoff spot.
It's amazing.
Which is, what would be more surprising to you, Don? Them making it or Miami making it?
No, Miami. Well, you know what? I guess Miami, just because it's been so bad for them in recent years. Mm-hmm. But it's been bad for Baltimore, too. It's a tough one. Even, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the season that on September 9th, the San Francisco Giants and the Miami Marlins would be playoff teams and the Orioles would be a half game out of the playoffs, I would say this is a bogus season. Nobody is going to take this seriously.
Right. Not only would the Orioles be a half game out, but they're battling with the Yankees for that
right.
spot.
And then, but since we're kind of in the middle of it, I don't get that sense. Like, I don't think when this is all over, if these teams make the playoffs. Now, winning a championship might be a different story because the playoff format, you know, you still got to do a lot. Once you get through this best of three stuff, eventually you're going to have to win 7-game series and win the World Series. So the format, I think, will doom a lot of these teams that happen to get in. But just making the playoffs, in the beginning of this, I would say, all right, bogus. I don't think it's bogus. Like right? I mean, do you feel like this is an illegitimate season?
I really don't. I was actually going to say that I almost give fans credit. Like, we've taken hundreds, thousands of calls on baseball right. since this started, and I have not heard that sentiment from a single one of them, where nobody is making any excuse for the Yankees and saying, oh, well, whatever, it's a 60-game season, nothing matters this year, let's just start thinking about next. Nobody, everyone's mad like they would be if this was a normal 162-game season.
And if you feel that way, like the Carlins of the world, then you shouldn't be upset because you wouldn't be paying attention and not caring. But if you're going to care, well, then it has to mean something.
Yeah.
I just think it's great. It's been fun. Like, I'm watching a lot of the Giants because of Nancy, and they've been a great story. There's just been a lot of really feel-good stories. And listen, in the end, I think the Yankees are going to make it because I just don't believe that Baltimore, Detroit, or Seattle will be able to take advantage of this when it's all said and done. But it makes for great conversation. It makes it fun.
Yep. And then also tonight in New York sports, hockey, huge game 2 between the Islanders and Tampa Bay Lightning. New York trying to even the series up at one game apiece. You can hear that, by the way, here at 98.7 ESPN pregame at 7:30. What do you think tonight?
I think they'll be much more competitive. I would be surprised if they got blown out. But I just think this Lightning team is good. I picked them to win the cup when the season started. And obviously when the playoffs started, I thought they were the best team. I had them going and winning the championship. So it's more just me respecting the Lightning than disrespecting the Islanders. But I think it's going to be a fun one. And if you find a way to win it, who knows? You know, but I just think they, when you watch that game the other night, I don't know how much you watched it. Yeah, the Islanders were tired, but you just see Tampa just, they get so much scoring from their blue line. They've got a gifted goaltender of Vasilevsky, who for the second straight year is up for the Vezina Trophy, is the league's best goaltender. They got an excellent coach in John Cooper, who could be coaching for his job, because a lot of people feel like this team's been knocking on the door for so long. If they don't eventually win, then maybe he could be the scapegoat for this. So there's a lot of motivation. And oh, by the way, they're playing without one of their best players in Steven Stamkos. That's how deep they are. So
yeah,
the Islanders are in a really, really tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, game one was particularly jarring to someone like myself, who is a huge Flyers fan that just wrapped up watching. Even though that series went seven, I think that was about as dominant as a team can be in a series that went seven games, talking about the Islanders over the Flyers. And just the way that the Islanders consistently shut down Philadelphia's opportunity to score anything. I mean, it was just like the Flyers, it would take them till, you know, midway through the third period, it felt like, to get to 15 shots. So to see that over the course of seven games and then see Tampa put eight up on the Islanders in game one, it was just like, what am I watching? Is this really the same team that I just spent seven games watching before?
But a lot of Philadelphia's success came from shots from the point, right? Where you get traffic in front, deflections. This is what Tampa can do, because they got so many guys that can blast shots from the point. So they've got to do a better job of cleaning out the front. But the way Philadelphia got goals, that's exactly how Tampa does it. And that's how they did it in game one. So they've got to figure that out.
Yeah, that's the NHL playoffs. NBA playoffs continue as well. The Bucks are out. Miami beat them last night in five games. And Jimmy Butler doesn't even think we've seen Miami's best yet. Butler, when asked whether his team had played its best basketball, said, no, I don't think so. I don't think we've played a full 48-minute game yet, and that's what's promising. When we do lock in and decide to play from the start to finish, I think the game would be a lot easier. I don't think it's happened yet, but we have to in the next round. A lot of guys in this – since the bubble has started in the NBA, have seen their profiles go up, like Devin Booker, Doncic. I would even throw Lillard in there, even though he was already a top 10 player. But like, I don't know if anyone's has gone up more than Jimmy Butler, maybe Jamal Murray, but Butler is now viewed, like, I feel like he was always viewed as a great number two to have on a team. And I feel like now he's upped his profile now, and he's an alpha. He's proving, I think, that you can, like, he's dragged a Heat team with a lot of role players on it to within one round of an NBA final appearance.
So how
having
does that
just
make
beaten
you feel?
Well, terrible. And here's the thing. I know you guys were talking about the process and how it failed earlier. I mean, look, results are results, and it's a results-oriented business. And so it's hard. I'll never really be able to argue with the fact that this didn't result in a title. You're right. Like, that is what it is. However, to say that it failed, I would tell you this. The process did ultimately result in a starting five of Simmons, Embiid, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, and Jimmy Butler. Now, they couldn't keep that because Jimmy Butler clashed with Ben Simmons and with Brett Brown. That's kind of a variable that's hard to factor into the process. But that starting five, I mean, was, I would say, more than capable, had they run it back, of being right back in the situation and probably knocking on the door of a championship. We'll never know.
No.
But, you know, a bounce of the ball a different way against the Raptors, and maybe the Sixers win the title last year. So you're never going to get me to say that the process was total failure. However, I will always say that it was probably a mistake to allow Butler to leave. But again, I don't think that was the Sixers' choice. I don't think he wanted to come back with Simmons and Brown there. But anyway, that's just my
thoughts. Where was Miami ranked in your mind going into these playoffs?
You mean beyond their actual seeding?
Yeah, I mean, like when you talked about teams that can make it out of the East,
would not have considered them.
And This is amazing because I think they're winning. You know, obviously, they're I think they've got an excellent chance to go to the final. And even if they stumbled against Boston, and just think of Pat Riley, what he's been able to accomplish as an executive in this league, and we know what he was able to do as a coach, but even as an executive, it's just it's amazing. How he tell me he's not in the top five like names in the history of basketball.
I guess like you're talking about just his the entirety of what he does as a basketball man.
The Lakers, he went to the finals with the Knicks, lost in seven games, goes to Miami, you know, wins before LeBron, wins with LeBron, and now he's got a relevant team after LeBron. It's incredible what he's been able to do.
Yes, it is. However, I feel like I always do this, I do just want to throw some respect Eric Spoelstra's way because I always feel like he, like the respect always kind of skips over him and goes to Riley. You know, Spoelstra is, he's the one overseeing this. He's the one coaching this
team.
And
who hired
this team.
Him.
Yeah, you're right. Riley certainly gets credit for that. Absolutely he does.
No, but I think Spoelstra, when you think of how he kind of, the graduation of thought, like when he's first with LeBron, you're thinking, all right, this is the guy that's just along for the ride, right? This is LeBron's team. He's winning because of LeBron. And the fact that now, geez, how many years are we removed from LeBron leaving Miami?
What was that, 14, 15?
Right, so we're talking about 5-6 seasons now since LeBron is gone, and Miami's been able to stay relevant and might actually play for a championship. So you're right. He deserves a lot of credit, too.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is that they're, and this starts with Riley, they are an incredibly well-run organization. And as long as Riley is there and Spoelstra's there, they'll always be relevant. So you got to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. Also in the NBA, kind of an unexpected story that popped up last night. Billy Donovan and the Thunder have agreed to mutually part ways. Discussions between OKC management and Donovan were described as collaborative and realistic, sources told Woj, but the sides decided against pursuing an extension. The Bulls are now expected to have interest in considering him for their head coach opening.
That's going to be a gain. Tell me what more he could have done with Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and I'm curious as more comes out about this, because I wonder how much of it was their decision, how much of it was maybe his decision. They say, you know, when things are mutual, oftentimes I feel like they're never really mutual, but maybe they were here. Maybe Oklahoma City is ready to actually embark on rebuilding, which kind of wound up not happening this year because Chris Paul, I think, had more left in the tank than whatever they were expecting. But maybe now with Donovan leaving, they'll trade Chris Paul. Who knows? And who knows if the Knicks could be a landing spot for him? I saw Ian Begley wrote about that today, that there are some people in the Knicks organization that view Paul as a potentially good addition to kind of rebuild the culture.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. It just seems to me like he's 36 years old.
He will be, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But, you know, they know better than me. I don't know how what that's going to be.
I don't know. I guess the question is whether or not what he does for your culture outweighs, like, him taking opportunities from younger players that maybe you'd want to see running point for them. But I don't know.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's see. We are amazingly just one day away from the first game of the NFL season, and lots of news has been popping up around the league. Unfortunately, some of it bad in Denver. Von Miller injured a tendon in his ankle near the end of Tuesday's practice, like right at the end of Tuesday's practice. Vic Fangio said today he is going to need surgery, and that will be that for his 2020 season.
And from what I understand, it was like a non-contact practice at the end of it. If it goes the way it does with baseball, where so many injuries, that could just change everything. Forget about playing under the pandemic or guys actually testing positive and that compromising the season. That might just be the fact that so many guys are going to get hurt.
Yeah, maybe, although that, I feel like that's just something that we come to expect with football. I mean, every year injuries completely reshape the face of the game.
Right. So now with the fact that they didn't have any preseason games, camps were certainly compromised. How many guys do you think, you know, possibly during the offseason, because this was an allegation in the NBA, that just didn't think there was going to be a season, so maybe they strayed from what they did during the offseason to be prepared. You know, you if you see more injuries than you usually do, that's a lot. That's a lot of guys that could be hurt. And the right position changes everything.
Yeah, you're right. Let's see. I meant to mention this yesterday, but I'll mention it now. DeAndre Hopkins got a 2-year extension with the Cardinals worth $54.5 million. I'm going to summon the Daily Don for a sec here. I saw the story about DeAndre Hopkins. Where do you rank him among NFL receivers? Is he top two? I think Michael Thomas is everybody's one. Is Hopkins next?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it Julio?
Well, Julio's had amazing production, but because of he's older. I don't know if it's significantly older. I would probably put Jones at 3, Hopkins at 2. Thomas, as you said, would be my number 1. Then it becomes interesting, right?
4 and 5 is tough. Devontae Adams, maybe, with the Packers. I don't know. Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of the same type of player where it's tough.
Yeah, I think you're right. 1, 2, 3, I think most people would agree.
You know, where do you put Odell when he's healthy?
Well, his stock dropped dramatically last season. He's going to have to rebuild some equity in the minds of fans.
And he could. I mean, that's still possible for him.
Yeah. Earlier today, also another extension, it was announced that the Rams and Jalen Ramsey have agreed to terms on a 5-year, $105 million extension. It's the largest contract ever for a cornerback.
That's a lot. As Adam Schefter said, that resets the market for that position.
Yeah, first defensive back in NFL history to sign a deal worth over $100 million. $71.2 million at signing is the largest guarantee to a defensive back. So, yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of guys who play that position who are applauding this.
Listen, I'm not a capologist. How are the Rams affording all this?
So, you're right. Ramsey, I have this note here. I'm glad you brought that up, Don. Ramsey's the fourth player since 2018 who the Rams have signed to a record-breaking extension. Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, and Todd Gurley. Gurley, who they just cut last March, and Jared Goff, who, while good, doesn't really look like he is going to live up to the money that he received.
While good, not weep-worthy.
Now, while good, not weep-worthy, I think they've changed the recipe.
I'm not salivating over Goff. I'm just not. That's not going to happen. But listen, you take a team to a Super Bowl, but I will say this. This would probably be a great if we still did the Daily Don. It sickens me that we don't. Top five, like, worst quarterbacks to go to a Super Bowl. Because there's been a lot of quarterbacks to go to a Super Bowl. Like, to win a Super Bowl, you can go with Mark Rippon, Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson.
That's an amazing. All right, so I mean that would require like a night's worth of thought.
But there are a couple in my head.
All right, so I mean, a lot of people's go-to is Dilfer, and he won one.
Right. So this would be going to a Super Bowl and losing. There's a lot.
All right. Neil O'Donnell, could he crack that list?
Neil O'Donnell would be one, yes. Although Neil O'Donnell had moments, but the one guy I have in mind, I don't know if you can think of a moment.
David Woodley?
Boy, was he bad in the game.
Someone who was awful in the game.
He played against a friend of the show. That's my hint.
Played against... Oh, man.
Who many people would argue is the best guest.
Oh, Stan Humphries?
Stan Humphries. That always is my go-to. Like, Stan Humphries took a team to a Super Bowl. And that Charger team shouldn't have. The Dolphins should have went that year.
Oh, see, now they're coming flooding back. I mean, Rex Grossman played in a Super Bowl.
Rex Grossman. That's it. Rex Grossman played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I guess that goes hand in hand with teams that played in a Super Bowl that really shouldn't have played in the Super Bowl. Like, I wouldn't, I wouldn't put Steve Grogan in there because Steve Grogan was a really good quarterback, but that Patriot team didn't deserve to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they deserved it because they went, but it's like, that's not a team that really should be here. And the Bears proved that by the end of the game. But it kind of goes hand in hand. Yeah, that would have been a great top five if we were allowed to do them again.
I'm thinking this is going to sit with me now through the rest of the show.
Do me a favor because I enjoy it. Let's keep this going off the air. Like text me when they pop into your head. Text me. I'd like to keep that going.
Yeah, I definitely will. Let's see, Don. We've said all the time throughout the pandemic that the moment for sports to try new things is kind of right now, and we've seen baseball do it with the 7-inning doubleheaders. Right. You know, the runner on second to start extra innings. Well, college basketball may be taking that to an entirely new level. So ACC coaches voted on Wednesday to propose an expanded NCAA tournament for the 2021 season that would include every single Division I team. Several ACC coaches would prefer to avoid non-conference games this upcoming season due to complications from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Sources and sources were saying that Mike Krzyzewski is actually the one spearheading this push for an entirely all-inclusive NCAA tournament. Like I said, with everyone, I believe the number would be 346 teams. Wow. Taking part in the tournament. This was first reported by Stadium. So
how do you break that down bracket-wise? How many teams would be in each bracket?
So I think there would be buys involved
for
this to work. But I don't know. I think Joe Lenardi has an article up at ESPN.com where he explains, I guess, how it would work, and he also explains why it won't work. He's very against it. I would tend to agree with him. And look, ultimately, I do understand, like, baseball kind of is doing this inclusive approach with their 16-team postseason format. But I don't know. Like, the regular season, even in a weird year, has to mean something. And I do think that, like, you got to earn a spot in March Madness. You can't just be handed that. And I don't know. And I also don't get how this is safer. Like, if they're doing this in the name of the pandemic and trying to avoid complications, like, this would be safer. How do you put this amount of people in some kind of bubble? I don't know.
You can't, because, well, you can't have four bubbles. But, you know, what are you going to have that? You're going to have to have a ton of buys because, you know, you don't want to have that that dreaded 5-72 matchup.
Right.
Because it would be chaos. And you right away, we know the college basketball freaks, right? You might be one, the John Rothsteins of the world. But even that is like sensory overload. Like, at some point you would be like, all right, I'm really bored with this tournament. Can we get this over with already? I mean, you know what I mean? It just, how long would it last?
I don't know. And it's funny because you see once again that this group of coaches and the NCAA are not on the same page. I saw a report somewhere where the NCAA, if they want to have a March Madness this year, are thinking of actually downsizing from the usual 68 and maybe doing a 32 or even fewer instead. So I don't know. I don't know how realistic this is.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.